welcome to the New Author Podcast with your hosts, Jerry Evanoff and Lindsay Evanoff. The Super Siblings will take you through their days as they write, publish, and market their books. They'll talk about their successes, their mistakes, and everything in between. And occasionally, they'll veer off into tangents that will most likely be discussion of which episode of The Office is their favorite. Seriously, they talk about The Office a lot. So sit back, relax, and prepare to be educated and entertained, but mostly entertained.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the New Author Podcast. Yeah, stop looking at me like that. I don't know why I said hello. Today is November 15th, 2020. This is episode 103, and with me, as always, is my sister, Lindsay. Lindsay, how are you doing today?
Amused.
Yeah, I don't know why hello. I said hello. I don't know. I made it a three-syllable word or something. Anything exciting going on in your life?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No? Yeah.
Oh, are you going to talk about it later? Do you want to talk about it now? Or okay.
No, I'll talk about it later.
I don't want to spoil it. I mean,
it's not like people aren't going to like shoot off cannons for me or anything, but.
They might. You know. Do you want me to? I can find a sound effect and plug it into the podcast.
That's okay.
All right. Book three for me is up 1,786 words to 21,214. It's a bit below the 2,500 or so I've been doing the last few weeks, but I kind of ran into some issues. I don't know how to say it because it's not bad. It's just I got to a point where I had to stop and start looking at plot and stuff like that. So I'll get into that in a little while. In terms of mailer light, I am down three more to 820. And as I wrote into the outline, go away, freebie seekers. Because that's what's happening. I sent the email last Sunday. No, was it last two Sundays ago? I don't even remember when it was now. The second. Oh, 2 weeks ago, I sent an email. And the first and second. So, yeah, so that's down some more. So I don't know if people are opening it from 2 weeks ago or how that's working. But they're unsubscribing. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. In terms of golf, I have a funny story to tell you. I'm going to wait until I get into my recap of the week.
Was it on your Snapchat stories?
It was, yes.
Okay.
I don't even know if I ended Snapchat. And by the way, I've kind of discovered over the last couple of days that Snapchat is the perfect social media site for me. I don't have to deal with like the world is collapsing, which is what you see on Twitter. Or Facebook is, you know, one thing about Facebook, I don't mind Facebook, but the thing about Facebook that I used to like a lot about it was I could go there and see just what my friends are up to. Right. Mm-hmm. And I remember a couple weeks ago, I got on in the morning when I got up and it was literally just my friends. And I'm like, whoa, is Facebook making changes? What's going on here? I didn't see anything from any of the groups I'm in. I don't remember seeing any ads. I just saw my friends' updates in chronological order. And I'm like, that's what I want out of Facebook. And then it was gone and it's back to show me all the stuff. It's mixing in all the stuff from the groups and all. And I'm sure there's a way to do it. I just don't know what it is. But Facebook, I also don't care about my friends sharing stuff from other people. So I'm constantly blocking the people they share stuff from or the memes that they share. I have millions of, I mean, I bet I have 3,000 things blocked on Facebook.
Maybe you're like a more. Grouchy old man on Facebook. Get off my lawn.
Get off my Facebook page. Yeah, that's pretty much true. but Snapchat is like, I can make my funny little videos, at least that I think are funny. And if I don't want to look at anybody else's stuff, I don't have to. And I have like 8 or 9 friends on there that look at my stuff most of the time when I post it. And then I can look at their things, and their things are those personal things. They're not sharing something that their uncle said about Donald Trump. You know, they're actually just giving me some peek into their life, which is what I really like about social media.
Well, you know, there was a mass exodus off of Facebook. I think that's supposed to happen today. I think a lot of people left on Friday, which I don't think people are actually going to leave Facebook completely, but they're going to do their political rants on this other site. And I'm down with that. Like, take your political rant somewhere else so that Facebook can be a happy place again.
I don't even mind
how that changes.
Well, I mean, that sounds a lot like the people that go, if this happens, I'm moving to Canada, and it never happens. But I also don't mind, like, if you want to post stuff on your wall about, you know, your political stuff or your religious stuff that I don't care about, do it. It's your wall. I'm not going to follow you. That's how it is.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to tell anybody what they should or shouldn't post. I'm just saying,
right,
listen, if I don't like what you do, I'm not going to pay attention to it. So,
yeah,
but I wish they wouldn't, because I have certain people that are friends of mine that I have now hidden because, and now I miss out on, like, hey, their kid won some basketball game. It's, oh, that's cool. I don't see it though, because you post 17,000 political things in a row. So, so anyway, Snapchat is, I wish I could figure out how to get like a lot of followers on Snapchat. And I just don't know if it's, I don't know how big Snapchat is. I don't know if it's like, do the kids use it? And I'm just the old guy.
I think that's what the kids use. Ask Paris. She would know.
I mean, I'm thinking about the people who follow me. Paris is 21, right?
Yeah.
And then there's another girl who follows me, who I think is a week or so younger than Paris, who I know from work. And other than that, I think everybody else that follows me is 40 or over. So maybe there are old people on it. I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't figured out really how to use it. Like, you do those videos. I have no idea how to do that. And Paris has showed me, I can't even tell you how many times. And like, I just have this memory block against it. I don't know what it is.
Really?
I need to figure it out. But also, like, how do you know what to put on Snapchat? Like, I'm literally sitting at my desk working or cleaning. And nobody wants to see that.
I always try to think, will this entertain people? And that's all I ever think. All I ever want to do is make people laugh. That's all I care about in life. I want to make people
laugh. I just
can't
imagine anything I do would be very entertaining. I mean, maybe Friday night would have been a little entertaining. You know, like, people like to laugh at other people's pain. Sure. I probably would have got some I mean, Jeremy laughed at me. I'll talk about that later, but I don't know.
Was that the exciting thing that happened?
Yeah.
Was that a tease? Oh, I like that.
it's not that exciting.
like last night, you could have, the thing you texted me last night about The Mandalorian, could have maybe put that up there. That might've been a spoiler, so I don't know if you wanted to, but like, you could have put that up there.
I wish that I would have, had you told me, listen, at the end of The Mandalorian, have your camera video ready, pointed on you and Jeremy, because I wish that I would have had a video. I don't know what I look like because I can't see me, but Jeremy's reaction to that, oh my gosh, it was priceless.
It was probably the same as mine, which was...
Well, he didn't squeal like a little girl.
Oh, I may or may not have done that. I'm gonna confirm nor deny that. All right, so Snapchat, if you want like fun 30-second videos from me, sometimes I do 16,000 in a day, and sometimes I go 3 or 4 days without doing them at all. Find me on Snapchat. I don't know what the address is or
when. And I can honestly say that even the stupid golf ones are usually pretty entertaining. So
I try to make them fun. I try.
Yeah.
So
I miss the cooking videos, though. I really miss.
I got one today. Segment. I'm gonna do one today. I already.
You are.
Yeah. I went at the store this. I went to the grocery store this morning. Because at 8:30 in the morning, there aren't 7,000 COVID positive people running around. And at the grocery store, there's like 4 COVID positive people. So it's okay.
In Ohio, you'd be hard pressed not to find a COVID infected person at this point.
And I bought items. Somebody mentioned something to me last night, something that she had been eating recently. And I thought, oh, I want one of those. So I bought the items to make it. And I'm going to make, it's not going to be a big fancy one. Yeah. It's not going to be a big fancy one, but it is going to be something that I haven't had. Let me hear. I'll give you a hint. How do I say this? So do you know how like there's a Sunday bar where somebody will bring in ice cream and all the different things?
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing that I'm making today has a bar associated with it sometimes too. And I'll just leave it at that.
I have an idea, but I'm not going to say on air. Right.
Okay. Okay. So in terms of the debt repayment, quick update, I did get paid Friday and I did pay off one of the 2 remaining credit cards I have, Woo-hoo! Which is awesome. And I also put a bunch of money on the last one I have, and the balance is now like $1,600, and I will be paying that off in December. And life is good. So
yeah, there were some Snapchat videos about your progress happening in your backyard.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll get to that.
Is that the $1,600? Yeah.
No. This is something different. Okay. I'll get to that later on too. So there's my tease. Okay. Lindsay got hurt and something's happening in my backyard. Stay tuned.
Anyway.
Okay, I'm done rambling.
Okay. My book to word count is at 11,691. I'm up 1,456 words. Doesn't seem like a whole lot, but I have been working. I still have 585 active subscribers, none new. Nobody has deleted me because I forgot to do an October newsletter. But I'm not doing any promos either. My sales are still pretty low, but I am making sales. Knock on wood, they have not completely dropped off. As far as Amazon ads go, I have 62 ads running. I have 44,000 impressions and 40 clicks. So like Brian says, the average is one click per 1,000 impressions. So I'm four behind the curve. Still only one sale. Brian says one sale per 10,000. So I should have, what, three more sales? And I've only spent $8. So, I mean, I haven't made $8 and I've spent $8. So technically I'm behind, but I don't feel too bad about it. Things are still progressing. People are still seeing my ads. As far as news goes, November marketing, I'm continuing to add 5 to 10 Amazon ads per week just to see how they do. Yesterday, well, last week I had finished with the book titles from the Goodreads scraper I did. So this week I started on author names. So it'll be interesting to see if they do better or worse than book titles. I know that when I go to Amazon, if I want to find a new book, I'll say, hey, I really like, you know, Susan Elizabeth Phillips. And so I put in her name and see what other books, you know, pop up. So if it were me, I feel like the author names would do better than the title, book title, but that's just how I do things. I'm kind of feeling like I don't want to do any more promos or spend money on Facebook ads until I have a release date for a book too. It just seems like, you know, with only one book out, I might be wasting my time and money. So I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but I kind of feel like it is. Book two is moving along. I was able to work on it quite a bit this week. I worked on plotting out a few more chapters, and I found that I'm not a total plotter. I'm somewhat of a pantser because I can't figure out what I want to happen in every single chapter until some of the chapters happen, until I see where some of the characters are going. But I do have some ideas in Plotter, the program that I love to use. And then the Nora Roberts ad that you and I created last Sunday simultaneously, I don't know. Was that an oxymoron? I think that was an oxymoron.
Somewhat simultaneously?
So, yeah.
Yeah, because wouldn't simultaneously is simultaneously. There's no somewhat
yeah.
about it.
Yeah. We both created the ads on Sunday.
Yeah.
Different times in the day. Anyway, mine has 122 impressions, no clicks, no sales. But you know, Nora Roberts people are seeing my book. So
how does that compare in impressions to like the other ads you've created? I don't know if you have like I doubt you're keeping like track of like a daily impressions thing, but like, would you say it seems higher or lower than the number of impressions you get on a daily?
I don't know how many I get daily on each ad. I don't keep track of that. And some of the ads, quite a few of the ads, actually, I have zero impressions.
Right.
And then some of them I have like 4,000 impressions. So
when did we set this to stop? The end of the month?
Yeah. So we started it Monday the 9th and we have it going until Monday the 30th.
I'd be curious to know at the end of the month, like on the podcast that we do on the 8th of December, I'd be curious to know how many impressions it had versus all the other ones. Cause I, at least with me, Nora Roberts is blowing everybody away. So I'm curious. And it's weird because it's not generating sales. So it's a great keyword to get clicks, but it doesn't appear to be a great keyword to get sales. So.
Well, I just looked this morning because I only have the one sale on all of my Amazon ads. And it never occurred to me before to check and see which keyword created the sale. And it was the word cherish.
Oh, so I wonder if somebody literally just typed the word cherish, or was that part of what they typed in?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. It just comes up as cherish. So that was interesting. And it's on an ad that it doesn't have a huge number of impressions. You know, it might be like in the hundreds and not the thousands, like some of my other ads. So I don't know, but it's a good keyword for my book, you know.
You ought to throw in a book funnel. You ought to throw a book funnel promo out there just for your book and see if it, cause it's free. I mean, you've already paid for book funnel. So you may as well just throw a sales one in there and the romance one. And if there's 100 books, maybe you get a sale out of it just to see what happens.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Didn't you get me BookFunnel? Was it BookFunnel you got me for my birthday last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can feel free to repeat that. I'm fine with that.
Okay. I actually have an idea for you. It's just, I don't know what it's going to cost yet. Cause I have to, I always get you a birthday present, a Christmas present from your wish list. And then sometimes with all of you guys, I try to go rogue with a Christmas present. Also something that's not on your list anywhere. And I have a great idea for something right now that's rogue. And I put an email out to somebody yesterday to find out what it would cost me to get it made. And I'm just waiting to hear back. So yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Actually I was, scouring your Facebook page yesterday, looking at everything that you've ever posted on Facebook in the last 2 years, because I had an idea for something and I needed, So thanks for that. Oh. Thanks for making all that public.
That's really intriguing now.
Yeah.
I think I might need to know. Mom said yesterday that she ordered something for my birthday and she won't tell me what it is. And it's going to be delivered between the 18th and the 30th.
So I'm not sure how I'm going to handle that. Cause if we're all coming down there, you know, everything that I buy for Christmas, I'm going to have shipped to you.
Yeah.
So if I ordered off of Amazon, I'm just going to have them shipped to you instead, except for your present. I might just bring that myself. I haven't decided yet. Cause I don't trust you. No, that's not it.
I don't peek. I don't, actually when, cause mom has had some stuff shipped here too. And it goes from my porch to the attic where we hide all of the presents.
The Santa's presents, right.
Santa's presents go in the attic.
Right. All right. So speaking of BookFunnel, the reason I brought it up because it's to you is it's the first thing on my list. And I'm in the BookFunnel one that started on the 27th of October, runs through the end of the month. I have 39 clicks and I still only have 34 shares, which means I've gotten 5 more clicks from other people, but I haven't brought any more shares to it. And I feel like I should, but if you look at my BookFunnel average, it's funny how, when I do a promo for a free newsletter sign up book, you know, I always bring over 100 shares. I mean, the people in the emails that I send out always click on it. But when it comes to, hey, here's some books you can go buy, it's significantly less people that click on it. And, I have 34 shares so far. That's about the average. I've been in the 30s every time I've done this the last few months. So, I'm probably going to send out another email. I'll get to that in a second, but I think I'm gonna send another email out maybe next weekend. I have a pretty good idea of what can go in that email and it's a good time of the year to send it. So the Story Origin one goes until December 15th. Again, no idea how many clicks or clicks I'm getting. The shares is actually down. The shares to Story Origin is always lower than the shares to BookFunnel. And I'm not sure if because people that open my email recognize BookFunnel, so they click on it, or am I putting BookFunnel first and Story Origin second? Maybe the one I'm going to send out next week, I'll put Story Origin first just to see what happens. And so I don't know what's coming from there. In terms of Amazon ads, I'm up to 25 because of that Nora Roberts one that I created last week. That Nora Roberts one for me has 14 impressions and 0 of everything else, 0 clicks, sales, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I had emailed you earlier in the week to tell you, you know, I had 3 or 4 at one point, and I'm wondering if the reason I have less impressions on mine than you do is because I created a Nora Roberts ad back on October to start on October 30th and end next week. That one, so I created that one, or I started that one 3 days after most of my other ones. A few of them I started a day before the Nora Roberts ad. But the point is that Nora Roberts ad was the last one I created. And it has 6,215 impressions. It has 4 clicks, no sales, no nothing. But the next highest impressions I have is I have a dystopian keywords ad that has 2,100. So that Nora Roberts has 3 times as many as all the rest, you know, as any other one. And in fact, of my 18,000 impressions, that one Nora Roberts ad is a third of the impressions, and it's 4 out of my 14 clicks. And so, like I said, it's really good at getting impressions and I'm only spending 15 cents per ad, which is actually a little less because I'm at 59 cents. So just under 15 cents per click, which is nice, but it's not getting any sales and it's not getting any page reads. My only ad with page reads is a time travel 2 ad, which I believe was the Nora Roberts book, was the keyword they clicked on in that time travel ad. So, so maybe you could say Nora Roberts has one click and one, I have 578 page reads, which I believe is one full book. So in total, I've spent $2.10, 15 cents per click on average of my 14 clicks, 14 clicks out of 18,500 impressions, which is one every 1323, which is definitely too high. I've made $2.62 and I've spent $2.10. So I'm still up, you know, it's fine. And again, I've spent $2.10. No big deal. Like you said, it's not very much to, for me, this is more, I mean, I want to make sales. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy to see page reads, but for me, this is still practicing the same way I'm practicing with my Facebook ads, where I'm going to stop that at some point for a period of time until my third book comes out. And I may even, when the third book comes out, I may run it for a couple of weeks and then stop again until I'm ready for that box set. I mean, this is all practice. Everything that I'm doing right now is leading up to when I can release a 6-book box set, which is the first 3 books of the trilogy and the 3 books in the prequel trilogy, about 1500 pages, and get that out. I'm hoping to get that out sometime next summer, probably late in the summer is what I'm looking at right now. And that's when I'll start really pushing it, because of what I've seen in terms of box sets for everybody, where they offer it for 99 cents on Amazon, but put it in KU, and the 99 cents sales is what brings it up the ranking, and the ranking is what gets you the page reads. And it's kind of a snowball effect from what I've seen. The one thing I haven't seen is I haven't seen the failure stories with those, but I haven't really gone out looking for them. I've just heard a few different people talk about doing this and how they make a pretty good amount of money. And my plan is to do that while I'm writing book 4. And then hopefully I can get a pre-order up before I put it out there so that people can buy book 4 once they read their way through the box set. So that's kind of what I'm leading to with all of this stuff. Before I get into the Facebook ads, I'm curious now, what would you do? What does it say? Or what did Brian Cohen say? You know, all of my ads are scheduled to end on Saturday. So 6 days from now, what would you do next? Like, when are you scheduled to end and what are you planning to do?
So I have some that were scheduled to end today. And Brian says, you don't really need to analyze your ads until you reach 100 clicks. Not per ad, but in total for all of your ads, 100 clicks. So in order to not necessarily go through and analyze the ads and try to figure out what I'm supposed to do, I push the dates back to next Saturday or Sunday, the 22nd. And then next Saturday, if I still don't have 100 clicks, I'll push them back another week. Ones that are doing well, I will probably stop them. Now, this is when I get 100 clicks. I'll stop them and then redo them the exact same way, but give them shorter time frames, because Brian says that for some reason, Amazon seems to notice ads that have shorter time frames. So right now I do my ads 2 weeks out. So once I reach 100 clicks, I'll take the ads that are doing well, I'll redo them for 2 weeks and then reanalyze it again. And then if there are specific keywords that are getting me clicks and sales, then I'll do ads bunching those keywords. So that's kind of like the second tier ads. So I'm just going to keep following what he says, wait till I get 100 clicks, and then, decide what to do from there based on.
You're going to keep pushing them out every week until you get 100 clicks. That's the plan.
That's my plan right now. If things start slowing down, I might stop the ads and redo them with the shorter time frames so that they get noticed. But I just kind of have to take it as it comes and decide. And, you know, I'm no expert. Brian Cohen may be listening to this, probably not, and laughing hysterically at the words that I'm saying. But this is kind of what I took from what he said. And maybe I didn't take it right. I would love to take his full course. But I just can't put out that money yet when I only have one book out.
How much is it?
I want to say it's like 400.
Can you send me the link?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll put the link in the show notes too. But
yeah, I don't remember exactly. I looked it up back when I did the ad challenge, but I didn't write it down. So yeah, we'll get that in the show notes for sure.
All right. So moving on to, let's see, my Facebook ads. Actually, what I think I'm going to do with Amazon ads, that I'm going to keep creating them. So maybe I'll create, you know, 5 or 10 more tonight based on that whole Goodreads scraping thing that you had talked about a couple of weeks ago. And then I'll try to create some more, because, you know, it seems like the more you have, the quicker you get to 100. which is kind of interesting. But, and then maybe you can analyze and see what the keywords are. It's funny because this Nora Roberts thing, it's a thing. I mean, it's real. It's legit. I've gotten, you know, I've had, back when I was doing ads 3 or 4 months ago, I was getting sales from that Time Was book she has. And now if I look at the impressions I get, so I just have to figure out some way to turn them into sales. Cause right now I'm just getting clicks. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so I'm not really sure what to do next. And I kind of have an idea, and I'll get to that in a second, in terms of Facebook ads. So my Facebook ads are, I'm doing these based on something that you said a couple of weeks ago with Brian Cohen and running them in shorter time spans. And this time I created 7 ads. Is it 7? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 ads to run about 3 to 4, 5 days at a time. I kind of separated weekend and weekday. So Friday through Monday is one set, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is another set, and so on. Although as we get near the later of the month, I did group the 20th to the 26th together, and then the 27th through the 30th. So I did group 1 week together. I've changed out my images a little bit to try to determine if there's certain images that do better. And it's interesting because over the first 4 ads that I've done in November, my cost per click is 18 cents, 20 cents, 21 cents. And now this one that it's currently running is at 16 cents, which is really low. And I have a lot of clicks and again, not a lot of sales. So I'm seeing this pattern where I'm getting clicks. I'm definitely getting clicks on stuff, but I'm not getting like a lot of sales. Now I will say that this has easily been the best 7-day span of page reads I've ever had. If I go into here and I look at my reports starting on November 8th, which is Sunday last week, I have 368 page reads. Then I have 660, 549, 638, 702, and then 295, 174 yesterday, and 73. But also starting in November 8th, I have 3 sales, one on Tuesday, one on Thursday, and one yesterday. So I am making sales and getting page reads. But for the number of clicks I'm getting, I'm guessing if someone was to kind of do the math, I'm only getting like 1 sale per, I don't know, 30, 40 clicks, which is not good. I mean, I think you want to be less than 10. And so I'm not really sure what to do next. Well, that's not true. I have a couple of ideas of what everybody always says in all of the ad courses I've ever seen and done. The two things are as follows: your blurb and your cover. Now I love my cover, and it was mm-hmm. the first cover I ever had, and it was created for me. I saw a Facebook post yesterday in the memories section, because I like to click on the memories and see what a dope I was in 2009 when I first got Facebook. And I believe it was either yesterday or Friday where I put a link up, a picture up, and I only showed it to you, the mom and the dad. And I said something like, oh, so this just happened. And it was my cover. Mm-hmm. And so I got it like around the 13th or 14th, 2017. And I really like it. It is completely different from the cover that was made by Stuart Batch for my second book. And now I'm starting to wonder, should I get a new cover? I don't know. Like, I feel like spending that kind of money right now would be silly. I should wait until maybe I'm not getting sales because I only have 2 books out, 3 if you count the novella. And people aren't ready to buy yet until they see, if it's a series, they're like, I hope this guy didn't stop at the second book with all these mm-hmm. cliffhangers. And that's, so I don't know. I am going to look at my blurb a little bit at some point in the future. I have been tinkering with that blurb for so long, and I don't know what to do next with it. I'd almost have to just empty it, like blank out my page and start from scratch and try to it's kind of like what you told me you did last week. I think when you were trying to come up with characters and you just grabbed notebook paper and started writing.
Yeah.
I'd have to do the same thing. Just start writing gibberish until it comes into something that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I write anyway. So, so I may tinker with these, but again, I may wait until, you know, like you said, you have 1 book out. I have 2 in the series. Mm-hmm. Maybe people aren't buying because part of that is because of that. I don't know. So that's kind of with the Facebook. But again, like I said, this is my best stretch, which is kind of cool. It's my best stretch. If I just go, let's see, where's November? So November 9th, no, the 8th through today, apply. I thought I'd be able to see it there. I guess I have to go to that Kindle dashboard. KEMP Red, I am on pace to break my all-time record for page reads, which I set in September, and then I broke in October, and it looks like I'm going to break it again in November. I thought things would actually go down as I went, because usually it drops off, but I think it's because of the ads I'm running and that kind of thing. Let me see, apply, here we go. So I have 3,459 page reads from Sunday last week until today. So that's actually 8 days counting today. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, I'm not going to break my record in a month this week, but if things keep going like they are, I'm going to have a really nice page reads day, which I'm trying now to figure out, how do I convert that into reviews? Because that's the next thing I'm trying to figure out. And, you know, I've heard, I think it was either Mark Dawson said one review every 1,000 sales, which seems kind of high. So I'm basically just hitting the people in my mailing list, people on my Facebook page, my author page. I'm just kind of hitting them over and over again with it. I put it in my emails that go out. I try to put it once or twice, once every couple of weeks on my Facebook page, mixed in with other things. And so this week, I think I'm going to send another email out. I wasn't planning on it originally. Actually, I think I'm going to send it out next Sunday. Wasn't planning on it originally, but I have, over the last two emails I've sent, told the readers what characters I'm basing my characters on when I was writing them. So the first one was an actress. What's her name? I always forget her name, Rachel McAdams. The second one was a guy who, it was more his character in a movie called Art School Confidential. And now I have a really interesting idea here, where we're right in the middle of Hallmark Christmas movies, because, you know, it's almost Thanksgiving. And, two of the characters in my book, Allison and Max, are based on a couple from a Hallmark movie that I watched 2 years ago. And I think, and I don't remember, I want to say that one of them is Jesse Schramm, who's an actress in a bunch of those Hallmark movies. And I can't remember the guy's name. I'd have to go back and look. But what I want to do, I think, is I want to try to find the movie and find the movie poster if it exists on IMDb, something like that. And that's what will be my email this week, is, hey, you know, two more characters, here's who they're based off. I was literally watching this Hallmark movie and went, oh, I like both of those characters. They're perfect for Max and Allison. So, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna talk about the promos I'm in with Book Funnel and Story Origin, and then ask for reviews again.
Yeah.
And I think I'm gonna run some kind of a sale. I might do like a 99-cent Kindle Daily Countdown deal, and not tell anyone about it, and just hopefully see if the Facebook ad will get people to buy it. I don't think I'm gonna do any of the email promos, because those, I think I spent like $300 or $400 on those. I don't want to spend that money right now. So speaking of last week's email, I'm still getting a decent open rate. I'm still around 25% open. I actually think people like reading the email. I don't do a lot of pushing of my book. It's more of a, here's what's going on with me, or every one of them has something with my dog. And I always get emails about the dog when I send the email out. Somebody always responds and said, you know, we love Max. So, you know, my click rate was down to, what is that, about 6.5, which is a little bit lower. But again, it's always higher when I'm doing the click here for a free book versus click here for a list of books you can buy. So, So I'm going to see how next week's goes, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to set up an email today. In fact, I'm going to put that in my setup email for next week. I'm going to put that in my list of things to do. And that's pretty much all I have. It's the middle of the month, so I'm not really getting into the marketing for December yet. I'm probably going to deal with that next weekend. And yeah, that's my news.
What did you do last week?
So last week was a different week for me, where I worked from home all week, and I just kind of tried to make it a point to write every day, and I almost succeeded. Yesterday didn't really work out so well, but every other day during the week at lunch, I wrote. Yesterday didn't work out because I had to sit down and do some plotting. So I skipped over segment two, which is the game segment. That's going to be a complicated one to write. I'm just about finished with segment three. I wrote the beginning and the end of the final chapter. I have to write the middle, which I'll probably do that tomorrow at lunch. And then I really have to get out my note cards and my bulletin board and kind of plot. You said earlier that you were kind of a plotter slash pantser, because you can't plot out everything that happens all the way through the end of the book. I can do that. The difference is, I think for me, when I start writing, I start pantsing where I'll make changes to the plot, the outline. So like you're basically saying, I'm not going to waste my time writing the end because I don't know how the end is going to happen yet or how they're going to get to the end. You may know the ending, but you don't know how they're going to get to the ending.
Yeah.
I'll try to come up with something that gets me to the ending because I, you know, when I wrote book two and the novella, so the last two things I've written, I had basically written myself into a corner a couple months in. And I want to try to avoid that this time and actually plot. I mean, when I wrote book one, it was easy. I had it all plotted out. I had 50 chapters. I had paragraphs. I took my note cards and turned them into paragraphs. Then I took the paragraphs and I turned them into the chapter. And I haven't done that since then. And I think it's because what I had mentioned to you last week where, you know, with book one, I knew the book. Because I was ready for it. I've been thinking about it for a long time. And then it's like, okay, let's write book two. And I have no idea what's going to happen in book two. So this one, I'm going to try to plot out starting potentially sometime this week. I'm going to sit down and start with the note cards. So my word count may not be as high next Sunday as it usually is because I've done a lot of plotting. So, but
see, when I have my book, whenever I think of a story with the first book, the second book, and I already know what I'm going to have happen in the next three books, it's always the same. Like you can think of it in like five sections. So one is the beginning, three is the middle, five is the end. It's two and four that I have trouble filling in. And if you look at, you know, like Save the Cat, you're going to have, you know, in my genre anyway, you're going to have your meet cute, and then you're going to have like the whole dating get together thing. And then you're going to have like the big event, and then you're going to have the breakup, and then you're going to have the happily ever after. Well, it's those two middle, like when they're dating and when they're broke up, that I just don't know. You know, they can go on dates, they can do this, they can do that, but there has to be some excitement there. There has to be like little subplots, you know, and I just don't know what those are. That's where I run into trouble.
Yeah, that's, you know, you have a, you know, they have this thing called the soggy middle, which is like that act two is, it's a, you know, in a three act play, act one is 25%, act three is 25%, act two is 50%. And that's a lot. And you're like, well, I know how it's going to start and I can't wait to write the exciting ending. And that middle just gets ugly. So you have like five sections with two soggy middles, which is disappointing. Yeah.
And you know, they're only soggy in my head right now. Once I start writing them, you know, they're going to coagulate a little bit.
It's a weird word to use. Do you experience that whole thing that I've talked about in the past where, you know, before I started writing, I would hear people say, oh yeah, my characters talk to me and I think it's really stupid. And then I started writing and they won't shut up. Have you had that issue? Like my characters will change the plot on me without me knowing, which is weird because I'm actually writing it, but yeah.
I don't know if that's the case for me. I guess you could say it is because I don't know where they're going until they start going there, you know, and that's that soggy middle part. You know, I know how they're going to begin, and then how they're going to get to the big exciting middle, I'm just not sure until they go there. So maybe, I don't know. It's just weird to me to say, oh, my characters are the ones doing the talking. No, it's coming from your brain. You're doing it for them. You're the puppeteer. Well,
Yeah. My other issue is I still don't have an overall arc for two of my three characters. I know what my third character, I already know what's going to happen with him because in the end of book two, one of the other characters says to him, get there at this time. And I'm like, okay, I'll just get him there. No problem. The other two characters, and one of them is my main character. She's the one that I know what happens to her throughout the book. Mm-hmm. And I know at some period of time, she is going to be shot three times and buried under a building, but I'm not going to kill her off because I like her. I want her as part of the entire series. So yeah. I have to figure out how to get her out of that building. And then I started thinking yesterday, I was driving to golf yesterday. It's a lot of times in the morning when I drive places, I keep everything muted. And unless I'm listening to Christmas music, which I do, I keep them muted and I just talk to myself and I talk about these characters. And I started thinking, you know, book one, two, and three were originally going to lead into book four. So it's all these different character stories leading into book four. And then in book four, they're all together and they have, and I already know what book four is going to be about. I'm ready for it. And I started thinking, what if book three, the end of book three actually led into book, continued the story from book one. And then book four just started from the end of there, which is, I think I may do. And if that's the case, that means I get to bring back some characters from book one, which I'm excited about. And that means I get to move her story along and find an ending. And I think I'm going to work on that. And I think that's going to get me where I want to go. I just have to, I mean, I already know who the bad guy is, but I don't know if I want to kill him because it seems like, well, in the first book, I had a good guy and a bad guy. And by the end of it, the good guy fought the bad guy and the good guy won, the bad guy died. Do I want to do that again in this book? I don't know if I want to. I want to kill him off because he's kind of a jerk, but I don't know if I want to just have the bad guy fight the good guy and the good guy wins, and the bad guy dies. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I've been trying to do with these books. Is I'm trying to experiment with different ways to write the story. I love Hallmark movies, but I don't want my book to become formulaic, my series where every book is the same.
Right.
That's why I had a cliffhanger in book one, but I didn't have a cliffhanger in book two. So I'm still trying to work all that out, and I'm trying to be creative, and I'm trying to experiment with different ways to write, and it's making it complicated, but I'm okay with it. I know I'll get through it. It's just hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
I know I'll figure it out. I'll have that light bulb moment. You sit here now thinking, boy, when am I going to have it tomorrow? Am I going to have it in 3 weeks? I mean, I want to get this stupid book out with all the page reads I'm getting on book one and two right now. I want to get three out there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, anyway, all right, well, that was my little rant. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So what did I do last week? I believe that was the question you originally asked me like a good hour ago. So Sunday I watched football, and I watched the continuation of my fantasy football teams all go down the drain. It's been a horrific year. I can't wait till it's over. I set up that Nora Roberts ad that we talked about. Mm-hmm. Every day this week, Monday through Friday, I worked from home and I wrote at lunch, and it was great. I didn't get a lot of words in every time, but I got words in every day. I'm very happy about that. Thursday, we had Writers Club. And I got to say, I read chapter two to my Writers Club. We're doing this virtually. There's not everybody that comes to the Writers Club is showing up in the virtual one. But it's the basic core that we had been in there for a while. One of the guys in the group is in his 70s, and he is not computer literate at all. So he does not get on the Google Hangout with the rest of us. He calls in on the phone number. And when you have four or five people in Google Hangouts and one person on the phone, and the person on the phone has to really, really concentrate to see who's talking, what they're saying. We talk over each other sometimes because, you know, you just can't, you can do that. It's tough for him. So when I read chapter two, I did everything I could to go really super slow. I paused at points when I thought if I was reading it to myself, this is where I would pause. I didn't do different voice inflections with the different characters. I think I had two or three male characters and one female character. And I didn't do any kind of a voice inflection to differentiate between the characters like you hear in a lot of audiobooks. But I did do voice inflection when somebody was surprised or somebody was asking a question. And I, in my head, at least, I really liked the way it sounded. I thought and not only that, I really liked the story. I'm like, well, I wrote, this is a really good chapter that I wrote. I have a betrayal in it, but you think the betrayal is happening earlier in the book and then it doesn't happen. And I want the reader to go, oh, okay, she didn't betray him. But then at the end of the chapter, she does. So I was very, you know, I really liked this chapter, and I actually got a lot of compliments on it. There were a couple of critiques I got, but I really like the way it sounded, and it kind of makes me want to put in my future list of things to do, record my own audiobook again, like it was in there before and I took it out. And I may investigate that at some point down the road, because I really like the way it sounded. I thought I did a really good job. So I'm probably biased, but you know, so... Friday, let's see, I was going to take a half a day Friday and stop working at 11. But as it turned out, we have four web programmers. One of them has only been there a couple months. He's not ready to handle emergencies. The other two web programmers took the whole day off. And so I just decided I'll work all day and I'll keep that half a day for some other time. I did write at lunch. They were supposed to stop by the house on Friday. I got a text message on, I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday that said, we're going to stop by the house between 6 and 10 on Friday morning. We're going to drop off all the equipment to build your building. And I texted back and said, great, when are you going to start the building? And they said Friday, 6 to 10. So it seemed like they were going to start Friday. About 10:30, the guy stopped by in his truck. He went in the back, made a couple measurements, got on the phone, and then left. About 2:30, the wood showed up, a gigantic truck in front of my house to drop off the wood. And then he said they'd start Saturday morning, which they did. I got up at 5:30 Saturday morning. It was approximately 25 degrees outside.
Ugh.
To go golfing. At 6:30, like
three whammies right there.
I know. Wait, is golfing one of the whammies?
Yes.
Oh, geez. At six, about five after six, the guy that I golf with, who he's a member there, you know, he has his own cart key. Keep that in mind. He texted me and said, Dave and Steve canceled. So it's just me and you. And I said, I'll see you at 7:30. So I got there and he was already loading clubs onto his cart. There were four cars in the driveway and I got in my car and he said, wow, I don't know whose cars are, I don't know if there's anybody in the building because those four cars all belong to the employees who are out on the course right now, basically gathering up leaves and getting that they burn them because they can't sit there all winter on the grass or it'll kill all the grass. And he said, I don't know if the pro shop's open, and the pro shop is where you go in to pay and get your food. And I said, okay, well, no big deal. I mean, half the time that I go there, we get there so early that the cash registers aren't turned on yet. So I can't pay until after the ninth hole anyway, halfway through our round. So I thought I'll just pay on the ninth hole. So we get there, there's no one in the pro shop. So him and I just start golfing. And we keep peeking back at the clubhouse and there's still no new cars, no new cars. So after the ninth hole, the pro shop is still closed and locked. And well, let's just keep going. So we're on the 10th hole, me and Ken says to me, he says, you know, I wonder if they're closed. And I go, I don't know, but it's 35 degrees outside. So maybe they are. So on the 11th hole, we come up to the group of guys that work there. And again, Ken knows everyone. So he says to this guy, Dwayne, who's like one of the groundskeepers, he says, Dwayne, are they open? And he says, no, they're closed for the winter.
For the winter.
So Ken says, okay, so we're going to finish and I'll just put the cart back when I'm done. So we finished. I didn't give the score at the beginning. We played the white tees again, which are the, so there's four sets of tees. There's like what they would say, the women's tees, which I don't think you're allowed to say anymore. I think that's I'm pretty sure I could be fired from my job for saying that. I'm not sure. Cause it's not politically correct. And I probably just offended a bunch of people. I don't know what they're called now, but they're the farther up tees. And then the white tees are for the over 65, the retiree tees will play there. Then the blue tees are just the men's tees. Ooh, I hope I don't get fired again. And then the gold tees are the tips. Those are the ones that like the really good players play. I went to a course a couple weeks ago and you had to be a certain handicap, which means you had to be really good. They wouldn't even let you play from the tips, which is weird. So we played from the white tees, which is the third longest tees. Mm-hmm. And I shot 88, which is again, a career low for me. It's one of my best scores ever. I shot 40 on the front nine, which is a pretty much a career best for me. And on number five, which is 500 yard par five, I hit it in from 100 yards and got an eagle. So I got a three on a par five. It's the only time in my life I've ever gotten an eagle. I've gotten birdies every now and then, which is one under par, but I know you're glazing over there. I know Brian understands what I'm saying. No one else
does. I have
no
idea what you're saying.
Yeah, I got my first eagle ever and eagles are really hard. So I was very happy, but so we got done. So we're on the 18th tee and we're over by those guys again that are working the groundskeepers. And he's like, the groundskeeper this time was like, I think Brian's up there. The guy who runs it, he might be up there. He said he was on his way in. So I thought, cool, I'll just pay when I get up there. So we get up there and the doors are locked and we're knocking on the door and the guy's not coming to the door. So I left and didn't pay.
Was he just ignoring you?
We don't know. Ken doesn't know. Because everybody knows Ken. If they saw Ken, they would have let us in because everybody knows Ken and everybody likes Ken. He's fun. And so I'm not sure. I'll pay eventually. Like if I go back, you know, I don't know if they'll open for a week in December because it's 60 degrees outside. I don't know if they do that or not. And if they don't, when I go back in like March or April to play again, I'll tell him, oh, by the way, I was here in November. I played for free. Can I pay you? And they'll either say yes or no. I hope they say no because I'm being so gosh darn honest, but but whatever. I don't feel bad about it, but I do feel like I have to pay. So so I will do that in March or April.
Do you watch The Big Bang Theory?
I watched like the first three seasons and then decided it wasn't funny anymore.
Oh, it's hilarious all the way up until season 12. Okay, did you see the one where Leonard didn't return the movie?
Yes.
And so Michelle he had a red sweater until he could,
Well, this isn't my fault though, because I tried. Like we knocked on the doors, we knocked on the windows, and we tried to get in the building. My guess is the cash registers weren't even on. And I didn't have cash.
Probably,
So I probably wouldn't have been able to anyway, but I will say next year. Hey, by the way, I was here in November. You guys were closed. We didn't know it. Ken could get a cart. Ken could get going and get a cart because the employees were there working on the grounds. So the garage was open where the carts are. So Ken has his own key. So he just goes in and gets a cart and loads up our clubs and we go. So anyway, that was my golf story that I thought was fun. And I the fun thing about it was I got paid Friday thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to have to put gas on my car and I'm going to pay for golf tomorrow. I'm going to get food. And there's going to be like $70, $80 less in my checking account tomorrow than there is today after paying my bills and paying off my credit card. That sucks. So I went to the gas station Friday and I had a 70 cents off thing from the Shop and Save. So I only paid $21 to fill up my tank. And like, I think I said this last week, I'm not sure, but because I'm not going back to work until probably January 11th, I may have filled my tank up with gas yesterday and won't have to do it again until at least January 10th. That's what I'm hoping. So that's nice. And then I thought, and then I got to the golf course and the $30, $40 I would have spent on golf and food, I didn't have to spend that either. So I'm just saving money like crazy. It's fantastic. Anyway, so then
Stolen money.
I came home. They had started my building. They have the floor built. I didn't know they were doing a floor. They have the floor built and they have the frames for all the walls built. And then they were going to come back today and finish it, but it's raining and it's super windy. And now they're not coming back till Wednesday to finish it. So pay attention to Snapchat if you're interested in the progress of my golf simulator that's being built behind my house. So
I don't remember seeing like a finished where they finished on Snapchat. The last one that I remember seeing was they had the walls that were still kind of laying on the floor. They hadn't erected them yet.
No, they still haven't.
They still haven't.
Yeah, they built the frames, but they haven't put them up on the floor yet. They're just laying down.
I was going to say, you didn't give us a finished product, but you must have. So.
Yeah, so I could try to do that maybe today because the walls are laying in my front yard. I don't like stuff laying in my front yard because I'm always afraid somebody's going to steal it. But they're 10 by 10 frames. I doubt it's going to take some effort to actually steal it. So, you know, hopefully nobody does. And then today I went to the grocery store this morning, you know, nothing exciting. Football, I'm going to write. Actually, later on, I think what I'm going to do is create some more Amazon ads and I'm going to set up my email for next week. I have to find the movie I have a picture of these two characters somewhere in a Google document that I built on those two characters a couple of years ago. So I just have to find that. So I'm going to put together and then what I might do is put together a couple of Facebook posts throughout the week that do the same thing I've been doing, which is try to create 5 to 7 Facebook posts where one of them is about the promos I'm in. One of them is about a character. One of them is something time travel related. And then I'll have two characters. So maybe I could do a second one about a character, ask for reviews. You know, I'll probably try to schedule all those today. So I have a lot to do today. The Browns play from 1 to 4. I hope they can win this game. It's going to be ugly weather again. And they got crushed 2 weeks ago against a bad team when it was ugly weather. And they're playing a bad team again and it's ugly weather. So I'm a little concerned, but I'm always concerned with the Browns because they could go 15-1 and I'll assume they're going to lose every game as they win. So. that is my recap from last week. What about you?
Monday, I taught 4 classes in the morning and I worked on rewriting chapter 4. It was really bad. Chapter 4 was really bad. Hopefully it's better now. It was just not realistic at all. It was too cotton candy.
Oh, too like everything is great. The world is a great place to live. Oh, it's the anti-2020.
Yeah, exactly. It was bad. Hopefully it's better now. Tuesday, I taught 3 classes. And then a friend of mine who was a background investigator with me is now a personal trainer at a gym that's like 8 minutes from my house. This is my big story, by the way. This is what I kept you on the edge of your seat for.
Well, I'm always excited to hear how you get hurt. So,
okay. So we have a gym in our house. Like, we weren't even in this house for 24 hours. And Jeremy was ripping out the carpet and the padding and putting down like a black gym floor. We have some like pretty high-end equipment in there. Jeremy loves it in there and I hate it. I get bored. I'll go in there and I'll do a few things and then I'm bored. I'm like, I'm out of here. This is stupid because there's nobody to talk to and nobody's telling me what I'm supposed to be doing.
Sounds a lot like a certain Casey Parker that I've been reading about.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so I called up my friend and I said, hey, you know, you're a personal trainer at that gym. I think I need to join a gym for the motivation, which is funny because Jeremy's like, that is my worst nightmare. He doesn't like to do working out with other people or anything. So anyway, on Tuesday, Jeremy and I went in And his name is Chris. He showed us all around the gym. The place is huge. It is absolutely huge. There are tons of like group classes. There's even like water aerobics. There's a big pool where there's like water aerobics. But then there's also like your main floor with all of your cardio equipment. And then like the machines, like I would use, they count how many reps you're doing. And all you have to do is like pull a pin to change the weight. And then in another section, there's the free weights, like what Jeremy likes to use. The place is just absolutely huge. So I decided to join and I made an appointment to go back the next day and just kind of create a schedule and see what I needed to do. And then when I came home, I finished writing chapter 4. Wednesday, I taught 4 classes and then I went back to the gym and I signed up for this small group personal training once a week. So it's 1 to 6 people in this small group. And we have a trainer there that basically tells us what to do, how to do it, how many times to do it, all of that, which is great.
Do they yell and scream you? That's my fear about, okay, good.
No, it's all very fun.
Okay.
And that was actually a question that I had. I'll get to that. So, I also signed up for this class called Push and it's in its own little room. And it's like a circuit training thing. But there's an instructor there and, you know, they tell you how many of everything you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to do. There's awesome. They have awesome music playing. It's really loud, which I'm old. So I'm kind of like, oh, can we turn down the volume a little bit? But anyway, after I signed up for those classes, then I stood on this machine in my skivvies. And the base spun. Now it spun slow. It didn't like spin me around the room, but it spun and it scanned me from head to toe. And then it told me everything. It measured everything from my neck to my ankles. It told me the circumference of every round area on my body, you know, like arms, forearms, biceps, waist, chest, hips, thighs, each individual thigh, you know. But it also told me my height, my weight, body fat content, body composition, and fitness level, which is basically like the basal metabolic rate. Do you know what that is?
I don't. No.
So it's the amount of energy your body is burning while you're resting. So like while I'm sitting here, my body is burning energy. And so that basal metabolic rate is the amount of energy that's burning. I definitely have some work to do based on that test result. And then after that, I did a nice brisk walk on a treadmill just to feel like I was going to do something that day. And then when I came home, I ate lunch and I just kind of polished up chapters 1 through 4 again, which really need to stop doing, or I'm not going to make any progress on this book. I don't know what my fascination is with those chapters, but I need to get over it. Thursday, I taught 4 classes. And then after I got Keenan on the bus, I went to my first push class. So you wear this heart rate monitor. It goes like around your rib cage, I guess. And it has this rectangular button that snaps into the elastic. And it feeds information to their computer and they have these giant TV screens on one wall. And like my name was there. And then it would say like my resting heart rate, my max heart rate, all of this information. And then it puts you in either the green, yellow or red zone. So the green zone is basically warm up, resting, whatever. Yellow zone is fat burning. And then red zone is cardio. So as you work out, you can see your numbers rising and falling. You can see the color of your little box change. So you know where you are. So it's a 60-minute circuit training class and it kicked my butt from here to Canada. Oh my gosh. My average heart rate was 160 beats a minute and my max heart rate was 190. And there were points in the class where I knew my heart rate was really high because I would start to get a little dizzy. And so I would have to slow it down or just kind of sit down and take a few breaths. But in that 60 minutes, I burned 653 calories. after the class, I went into, they had like this recovery room and there's hydro massage beds. So you basically lay in this really soft recliner and you push start and then water shoots up and like massages you from your toes up to your head and back down. And for 10 minutes, it just keeps slowly going up and down your body. And it's amazing. I came home and I ate lunch and showered, and in the shower, I was thinking about chapter 5 and all of the amazing things I was going to write. Came downstairs and I fell asleep in my chair for 2 hours and I didn't do any writing. Friday, I taught 3 classes. I took Ollie for a short walk after Kian got on the bus, and then I did some yoga at Anna's. My muscles hated me. This is where the comedy comes in. I finished reading How to Write Dazzling Dialogue, and I spent a couple of hours going back through the book and highlighting some things. And I took some notes about different exercises that I liked. Some are really brilliant, like I never would have thought of. And then others are a little too out there for me. I didn't do much else in the day. By the evening, I could barely move. I believe it was about 5:30, and I sat down out in the living room in Jeremy's recliner and decided the next time I get up, it's to go upstairs and go to bed, because everything hurt. Basically from the neck up, the elbow down, and the knee down, I was good to go. Everywhere else hurt. So Jeremy made me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and he put a small handful of Doritos and a wine cooler, and he delivered it to me on a tray. I ate, he cleaned up for me, and then I went upstairs and I took a very long, very hot Epsom salt bath. And then I crawled into bed. I was awake most of the night because like I move around when I sleep quite a bit, and every movement hurt and it would wake me up. It was awful. But Jeremy swears that next time I do the workouts, it won't be as bad. It'll get better and better and I won't be in so much pain.
So I have a couple questions. Number one, there's going to be a next time?
Yeah, Tuesday. I'm pretty excited. And
is this every week?
It's 3 times a week.
3 times a week?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You're skinny. Stop it.
Well, you know, that's debatable. Yeah. I'm not as in shape as I've spent the vast majority of my life, and I'm not comfortable, so I need to get back there. Anyway, that was Friday. Jeremy and Kian did a lot of giggling at my pain. Walking upstairs to go to bed was no fun. Getting in the bathtub wasn't so bad. It was getting out that caused a little bit of, anyway, yesterday I did laundry. I spent most of the day plotting and filling in some blanks. I watched a Hallmark movie for inspiration. I was able to really visualize, like I could close my eyes and visualize almost like watching a movie in my head of what I want chapter 5 to look like. I hope to start writing it, but people live here and they talk to me a lot, so I didn't. We had dinner at Anna's. We watched episode 3 of The Mandalorian and then a few episodes of Big Bang. I was still pretty sore yesterday, but I could move around. Jeremy carried the laundry basket for me, so I wouldn't have to do too much lifting. Today, podcast, I am going to write chapter 5 and I need to prep for the week.
So I have questions. So speaking of The Mandalorian, okay, so there's going to be spoilers now that come up. So if you don't want to know what happened on episode 3 of The Mandalorian, you should probably stop listening for, I don't know, a good couple minutes.
Yeah.
Really all you're going to miss is our running list of things to do, which is the same as always, and what we're addicted to, and that's boring this week. So did you know, I know what Jeremy knows about Star Wars, but did you know who those characters were that flew in to help him? At least Bo-Katan. Did you know who Bo-Katan was? Oh, you do. So did you watch like Clone Wars and Rebels?
I only know because Jeremy's read all the books and he like gives me a lowdown on what he's reading.
Okay.
So right. I have,
because I was wondering if someone who hasn't, like, did Jeremy watch Clone Wars? The cartoon?
Oh yeah.
Did you? Uh-huh. Oh, you did. Okay. I didn't know if you did or not. Okay. So when they said Ahsoka Tano is probably going to be on the show, which that has been a leaked for months. Like I knew about it months ago. I was really disappointed that I found out about it because I love for it to be a surprise. But I have reservations about seeing Ahsoka Tano in live action because I love Ashley Eckstein, who did the voice of her for all those years. And it's not Ashley Eckstein playing her. It's a famous actress. I can't remember her name. Do you know her name?
No,
I don't remember her name, but I know this actress has been like lobbying to play her in live action for a long time. And I'm, so it makes me think that she'll do a good job, but like, I have this picture of Ahsoka Tano is my favorite character in Star Wars history. She's the greatest. She's the best character. Yeah. She's gone through a ton, and she actually left the Jedi Order and went off on her own. And I hope someday that I can write a character that like is half as loved as she is. And uh-huh. Oh, it's driving me crazy. I can't remember her name. I would have been able to think of it if I hadn't.
I'm trying to look at her now.
I can see her. Anyway, so do you have any reservations about seeing Ahsoka Tano in live action? Because I do. I'm very worried. I do,
because it's kind of like, you know, when you love a specific actor and then you meet them in real life and they turn out to be a douche.
Right.
I don't worry that Ahsoka Tano is going to be a douche. I worry that she's not going to live up to the expectations that I have in my head. And then there's that certain level of disappointment.
So, and yeah. That might be like, oh my
hoping,
God.
I'm hoping that she totally kicks ass and I'm going to be like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I have these expectations too. And it's like, are they too high? It's Rosario Dawson. Is who's playing her. Geez. Yeah. And are my expectations so high that there's no chance I'm going to be happy? But I will say, I'm not like this giant Bo-Katan fan, but I do like the Mandalorian storyline from all the different things that they've been in. And I thought she was awesome. And it's, what's her name? Another one that I can't remember her name. Who played Bo-Katan, the Mandalorian? It was Katie Sackhoff, but Katie Sackhoff voiced her in all of the cartoons. I really wish it was Ashley Eckstein playing her, because you know, if I see Ashley Eckstein dressed up in that makeup, hearing the voice, then to me, it's the same thing. And that's my only concern. It's like, I love Hercule Poirot, and David Suchet played him in the TV show in like 50,000 seasons. And then I see, I remember when we went to London, I watched Murder on the Orient Express on the plane, and it was like somebody totally different. And I'm like, okay, it's a good story, but this isn't David Suchet, who that's to me is Poirot. So I get a little worried about it.
All right, I'm gonna chalk it up to like, if there can be that many Batman, some are good or some are bad, or if there can be that many 007, some are good, some are bad.
Yeah.
Maybe the new Ahsoka Tano can be.
I hope so. Oh, I really hope so. Because I don't know if we're gonna see her in the next episode. The rumor is we might see her at the end of it, because Dave Filoni, who is like, that's my Star Wars hero. He's the guy who created Ahsoka Tano. He wrote all the, he produced the Clone Wars and you know, he's like the Star Wars guy that should be writing everything Star Wars. And even, what's his name? Jon Favreau, who's doing it now, but Dave Filoni is like my hero. He wrote episode 5 of The Mandalorian. So I'm feeling like if he wrote that episode, that's the Ahsoka episode we're going to get. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. Love The Mandalorian.
Yeah. I like this season even better than last.
I do too, except I really loved episode 6 last year because it had Bill Burr in it, and I love Bill Burr. So that was the episode where they all were on the rebel ship trying to free the Twi'lek. And then they double crossed and they pushed him in the cage, and then he got out and separated him like a horror movie, which I don't even like horror movies, but it was awesome. So, all right. So, okay. So that's all. We're done. So, anyway, did you talk about
running
today?
List of future things to do. Oh. Post on Facebook and Instagram more often, like daily.
Daily is really hard.
I have so many other things to do. I don't know if I can.
I'm trying to schedule them on Sunday for 5 or 6 days, not every day, but most, if not every day, if I can. So mine is still the get the autograph paperback up. Again, like I said last week, Caro sent me an email. She's the person who did our websites. She sent me an email saying she's doing a series of videos step by step on how to do this, and I am happily waiting for those to come out. And when those come out, I will do this, and I will link to her YouTube channel again. I did last week, but I'll link to it again this week. Be sure to subscribe to it. If this is something you want to know how to do, everything that Caro's done for us has been awesome, and I can't imagine this is going to be anything different. So, in terms of my addicted to, I really had nothing last week. I worked from home every day. I wrote at lunch. I didn't really watch a lot of TV. The only show that I'm really paying attention to other than Mandalorian is The Amazing Race. And it was on twice last week, and I didn't watch either of them. I haven't recorded. So I really don't have anything right now that I'm addicted to.
Yeah, I don't really have anything either. I put watching Different Strokes on here just because it was on there last week. I'm on season 5 of 8. When I finish this, I'm just going to leave my TV off. It didn't really take me away from writing this week, but it was just kind of on. So I don't know if that's really an addiction. Probably not. This week, tomorrow, Monday, I teach 4 classes. I'm going to do a little bit of house cleaning and then work on chapter 5 if I don't get to finish it today, which I don't see myself finishing it because, again, people live here. I know what I want the climax to be, the middle of the story. So I may skip forward and just write that. And then if I need to, after I fill in that soggy middle, like adjust it, I can go back and do that. But it's just kind of been playing in my head a lot. And I feel like it might be holding me back from doing the middle a little bit. So I think I haven't decided yet. I might just get some words on paper for that part. Tuesday, I have 4 classes. I go to the gym for another push class on Tuesday. I would love to write. Hopefully I don't need to come home and take another 2-hour nap. Kean has an orthodontist appointment in the afternoon that I'll take him to. He's going to start phase 2 of his Invisalign. And this is kind of going to be a big phase for him. His bottom jaw isn't growing as forward as it should. So he does Invisalign, and those are the plastic aligners. They just kind of like click in. So the ones that he's supposed to get on the top teeth, they have this plastic thing that comes down, and on the bottom teeth, they have this plastic thing that goes up. And so he's going to have to actually push his jaw forward before he can close his mouth. And as he's growing, this will force his jaw to move forward, to grow forward. So we'll see how that's going to go. Wednesday, I teach 4 classes, and it's Wednesdays that I have my personal training small group session. So that'll be another workout. Thursday, I teach 3 classes. I go to the gym for my second push class of the week. And then I'll meal plan for next week and I'll do some writing. Friday, I teach 2 classes in the morning. I'm just going to go to the gym and do a light workout. If the weather's good, I might, take Ollie for a walk and then do yoga with Anna again. If it's too cold, cause it's supposed to be pretty cold in the mornings here, I might go to the gym and just do a nice light workout and maybe like sit in the sauna or something like that, and then come home and write. Saturday is my 3rd push class of the week. I do laundry, order groceries. I'll catch up on whatever I'm behind from, during the week. I'd love to be able to write, but Saturdays are a little iffy. It just depends on what I have to do. And then Sunday, podcast, food prep, and then Zoom with our friends and just rest. So Sunday and Monday are my gym rest days. Sunday, I might just decide to make it my rest day and not even try to write on Sundays. I start to feel pretty fatigued. So we'll see how that goes. But that's my week coming up.
Mine is pretty much the same as last week, where I'm working from home every day. I may use that half a day off on one of those days during the week and just take, quit working at 11. I haven't decided. We'll see how it goes. Depends on meetings and just whatever I'm working on. And based on, like I said earlier, based on the way our rotation is, the 4 of us that are web programmers, our last week in the office is next week. It's our new guy. And then after that, the guy who was supposed to go in during Thanksgiving week he was told not to. And I was supposed to go in the following week. So I'm pretty sure we're pretty much done until January 4th. It'll come back to the guy who was supposed to go in Thanksgiving week. So mine will be, looks like it's gonna be January 11th as of now is the next time I'll have to go into the office.
Wow.
I feel terrible, by the way, because I left food in the fridge. We have a fridge in our server room and I'm pretty sure it smells really bad. And I feel guilty right now and I need to tell someone, hey, but I gotta figure out who I'm gonna tell. I'll probably tell our infrastructure guy, can you just go in and throw that stuff away? Just everything that's in there on the bottom shelf. I feel terrible about it. I was going to do it the week I was in there 2 weeks ago and I just forgot. Every day I forgot. Plus I didn't want to open the fridge because it's smelly. Let's see. Monday. So what I'm doing really is I'm finishing up segment 3. Like I said, I skipped segment 2 for now, and then I'm going to go in and do some plotting. I'm going to get out the note cards and just try to, plot the entire book with this new idea in mind of taking book 3 past the ending of book 1. And then when people read book 3, they can go right into book 4 and it just picks up from that point. So I have a pretty good idea what I want to do there too, which is, it actually is interesting because part of what they're going to do in book 4 has to do that something that happens in the novella trilogy that I haven't finished yet, but this gives me a great idea for the novella trilogy, which I'm pretty happy about too. So It's all the puzzle is all kind of coming together. It's almost like a, what is that game? That Tetris game where the things would fall down. It's kind of how I'm feeling right now, is all those different pieces are starting to kind of fit together, which is good. So, let's see, Saturday. I'm probably not going to golf Saturday because apparently the course is closed for the winter.
It seems like you could just go anyway.
It really does seem like that. It's possible that if it's nicer later this week, maybe they open back up for a week or two because it's, you know, 55 degrees and not raining and they let people come and golf. And so it's possible that it could happen, but it look, I'm leaning towards it not happening as of right now, which means I'll get back to writing Saturday morning. But I really, really miss going into Chick-fil-A and sitting for a couple hours like I did back in January and February. That was really a great way for me to get 2-3 hours of work done that I don't necessarily get done on a Saturday now because I don't get home from golf until noon. I'm always tired and I clean up my house and there's stuff going on. And by the time I'm ready to sit down and actually write for a couple hours, it's 5 o'clock and I'm terrible at writing in the evening. So I have a whole bunch of excuses there, but it's really, it's just how it is. So we'll see how this goes. I really wish Chick-fil-A was open. I know restaurants are like the worst place to go right now in terms of COVID, but
if you're in Ohio, it's not so bad down here in Georgia.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, maybe. So maybe, well, I guess another reason for me to live in Georgia. I could probably
call my neighbor's house is going up for sale in February. Just
yeah.
FYI.
Anyway, the other thing that I want to do, so they're supposed to come out Wednesday. He said Wednesday, I looked, the weather, it's supposed to be pretty good. It's going to be a little chilly, but it's going to be dry. And Thursday is going to be, I believe, dry. So if they get that building finished on Thursday, I'm going to want to go out one day. And I bought, 24 blankets. They're moving blankets. They're dark blue. They're 6.5 by 6 feet. And I basically want to cover the walls and ceiling with them as a way to because I don't have a wall going in. I'm not going to have like these pretty walls I'm going to paint or anything. I don't care about that. This golf thing is for me and nobody else. I don't care how it looks. So I like the idea of putting the blankets over the walls because it'll absorb any errant ball that doesn't hit my impact screen and it won't bounce back and hit me in the face. And,
that's a good thing.
That would be painful, but also funny if there were other people around to see it. So I'm going to do that. And then I bought some flags. I bought a Cleveland Browns flag and a Kent State flag that I want to kind of put on the wall. And I just kind of want to decorate it up a little bit, get it finished so that I can hang my screen and start using it. I want to figure out how I'm going to mount the projector and just start using it. So that'll happen probably Friday or Saturday. And then Sunday football podcast, right? Maybe keep creating ads if you know, the goal is to get as many as you can. Maybe I'll try to create 5 to 10 a week, kind of like what you're doing, and get up to a big number so that I can get to that 100 clicks and start analyzing and trying to make something work better. The good thing about ads is, you know, Facebook ads are costing me money every month and I'm not recouping all that money. I'm just basically spending money. It's almost like a teaching thing for me where I'm spending money to learn what works and what wasn't. I'm getting better at Facebook. I've learned what gets clicks. I need to learn what makes sales now. And then maybe Amazon, I can kind of do the same thing now. And it's a lot cheaper in Amazon to do it than it is Facebook. So
yeah,
that really is my week. And that is all we have on this podcast outline. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Well, I just got a text from my friend, Melissa. She said, "Hello, my dear, my book club is reading your book this month and we meet Saturday to discuss it. Want to give us group discussion questions or better yet, FaceTime in to answer questions," which would be super fun. She said, "It's killed me to wait till November to read your book. It's the cardinal rule of our book club that no one has already read the book choice. I cannot eloquently express the amount I'm loving it. I'm so proud of you, my talented sister." That was very nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So you can almost use a
book club.
You could try to use it almost like as a beta reader session, as you could ask them questions of like things that you're curious about in terms of the plot and things like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that cool. Should be fun. I'll have to respond to her and maybe next Sunday I'll be able to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can find me at jerryevanoff.com. You can email me jerry@jerryevanoff.com. On Twitter, it's jerryE25, or you can search my name. Facebook, Jerry Evanoff Author. And I'm going to schedule some posts to go out this week. So if you want to see what I post, feel free to follow me. Or maybe you could just, I don't know if you have to follow me, but you can just peek in on it every now and then. I mean, this isn't this podcast isn't for readers, it's for writers. So writers who are kind of around the same boat as us and who may or may not be struggling or have advice for us or whatever. So as I said earlier, my social media of choice seems to be Snapchat. So if you want to see what I'm going to eat for dinner tonight, which really isn't the best ringing endorsement, find me on Snapchat. I don't know my user ID. It's Jugdish, which with a bunch of numbers after it. But I think if you search my name, you can find it. And it's in the show notes, so you can find it there too. And I'm also on Instagram, and I'm close to canceling Instagram, but we'll see.
You can find me at lindsayevanoff.com. Email me, lindsay@lindsayevanoff.com. I'm on Facebook, Lindsay Evanoff Author, Instagram, Lindsay Evanoff Author, and Twitter, Evanoff Lindsay. If you like our podcast, give us a review on the podcast page, and until next week.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the New Author Podcast. Check back next week for another episode. And for more information, find Jerry at www.jerryevanoff.com and Lindsay at www.lindsayevanoff.com.